Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Every year, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is today, Mary takes center stage. The only other time this happens is at the foot of the cross. Her presence in the story signifies where the human story of Jesus begins and ends. I don't believe it gets any more real than being at the beginning and the end of the life of our Savior. And as significant as this is this time of year, the story of Jesus' birth is only recorded in two of the four gospel writers, Matthew and Luke. And Matthew's version doesn't give Mary any lines, though. She's referred to five times, but as the wife of Joseph or the mom of Jesus. Not too many notes on her character if you tried to play the Mary that's in Matthew. But in Luke, Mary's real. To begin with, she's mentioned 12 times, double digits. In Matthew, the angel comes to Joseph in a dream to announce the birth of a child. Luke has Mary and Gabriel meet face to face. Cue the entry music, aim the spotlight. Time for a divine surprise moment. The angel Gabriel delivers news. Mary will be the mother of God in flesh. And this divine surprise is at once miraculous and overwhelming to hear. So much so that Mary exits stage left for a quick set change. She reappears at the country home, as Matt said, of her cousin Elizabeth, where the two have a dialogue which leads into Mary's solo moment. Divine surprises, according to Daisy Mercado, the Latina theologian and professor of church history from Union Theological School, are those unique moments in which there is a coming together of the human and of the divine, an intersection of the finite and the infinite. And it's in that moment that we are invited to join God as partners in the historical drama, she writes, that encompasses our human existence. But how, she questioned, does one put into words that unique moment of intersection between the human and the divine? Well, I think these two women do a good job because radical change is coming about for their bodies and for human history. Elizabeth's child will prepare the way, and Mary's child will bring the change to fruition. And it is Mary's poetry that gives us the details. One preacher said it like this: after receiving Elizabeth's blessings, Mary gives voice to the character and shape of this change. It will be an all-out reversal of the status quo, a gospel revolution that will scatter the proud, bring down the powerful, lift up the lowly, send the rich away empty, and fill the hungry with good things. God's stealth way of working. Instead of starting at the top, God begins with the lowly. So often we look for change in the centers of power, though. In courtrooms, government chambers like the House, the Senate, Supreme Court. Yet God scatters our power and our presumptions, pointing our attention to the labor and delivery floor. Or maybe even two midwives standing by in preparation for a home birth. As two faithful women pray and praise the mighty one who has done great things, unexpected ways, unexpected places. Ruby Bridges, maybe you know her. Unexpected person. She was a child ushering in the laws of integration in a school building in our country. Grace Lee Boggs, a woman who fought for justice by constantly evolving her ideas to include justice for all and by extending hospitality to unexpected ones like the Black Panthers when no one would have them in their home. She lived to be 100 years old. Pauli Murray, a priest in the Episcopal Church who bent gender norms before any of us knew what that even meant, right? Parkland teenagers. Teenagers whose activism was born out of tragedy. Elizabeth and Mary. While the promise to them is that their children will be great, these moms seem unlikely candidates to be the bearers of such greatness. Like the women on that list I just shared, nevertheless, God persisted. God chose two women to take part in our story of salvation. I think the character notes for them would read something like this: Elizabeth and Mary are blood relatives whose situations represent two opposite poles of experience. Elizabeth is infertile and middle-aged, while Mary is young and a virgin. Elizabeth lived with the cultural shame of her infertility, while Mary was unwed, assuming marriage and motherhood would come at the right time. Her cultural shame is coming soon, though. Yet despite the opposition of their situations, these women suddenly find themselves caught in a divine intersection and a surprise. Elizabeth and Mary unexpectedly find their bodies now contain a new hope in the growing life that they each carry. God partners with Mary and Elizabeth to save the world. And this morning, Mary moves from the periphery to center stage. She delivers a song which has come to us to be known as the Magnificat, that reminds us she is not some sweet, placid, meek, mild mama to be. She's real. She's real. She reminds us of God's connections with other women from Scripture, shamed because of their infertility, because of their gender, because of their status, yet also those women chosen by God to be partners in the divine surprise of salvation. Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Anna. Mary's Magnificat gives voice to the history of women who joined God at unique intersections in our human story. And she inspires by delivering her lines with boldness and announces that God can bring fullness from emptiness and that God recruits from the margins. It can be unsettling when the scene is played this way. I dare say some in this room right now might be unsettled. We may realize when we hear it interpreted this way that we belong to the crowd that is going to be brought down. Is Mary's God really ours too? This God who turns over tables and tears down walls? Just hold on to that question for a bit. Because if that's true, maybe that's why Mary's part has been minimized, filtered through Joseph, or even silenced and forgotten by those within faith communities who question even the place of women and those who live on the edges of church and the edges of society. So often we only see what the empire wants us to see. But God's story is so much bigger than that. This week is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We know that. This Sunday brings us to the dress rehearsal in our series of rehearsing Christmas. After completing a read-through, blocking each scene, holding a polishing rehearsal to correct the problems that have arisen, it's finally time to rehearse the whole production. We get costumes with props and lighting cues. We've made it to the final stages of preparation. And those who have been working on their respective parts in the dress rehearsal finally come together to see the show as a whole. So only now do we finally see how Mary and Elizabeth play essential parts in the completion of this story. Because God gives Mary and Elizabeth two things that up until this time they each lacked: community and connection. God removes their isolation, middle-aged infertility, and unwed teenage pregnancy, and guides the women to understand themselves more fully as part of something much larger than themselves. Quoting Daisy Machado again, the Magnificat is an affirmation of what it means to be a woman, and a reminder of what women are capable of doing when we dare to enter into God's intersections where the extraordinary has taken place and will continue to take place. This young woman breaks through the silence imposed upon most biblical women, and in my mind anyway, takes the posture of a revolutionary. So I know she's always sitting there in her blue, like, nice silkies. But I see her like this, right? With her arm raised, leading people in an uprising for justice. From her, we hear the strong song of a peasant woman, an expectant mother crying out for the future well-being of her peasant child and Elizabeth's child and the other kids in the neighborhood who would also be born into poverty and subject to the whims of an occupying army and an occupying empire. Today, these children are all around us too. They're near and they're far, as close to the babies of the dreamers, along the border between the United States and Mexico, thousands right now, as far as Syria, where there is not enough food or water or medical care for the children. God's story is intended ultimately to become our story, to have its way with us too. The way a baby grows within us and takes us over and changes everything. Yeah, it never goes back. I don't care what you say. It doesn't happen overnight. A parent generally has 9 months to get ready, for the most part. But that time still is surely coming when God's story is going to find you too. Whether you are a pregnant teenager or a midlife woman who has lived with longing and finally has an opportunity to make a brave change in her life. Whether you are the companion or the friend or the family of someone who is taking a brave step towards God. So what might your yes and your song look and sound like? How will you provide the care and the nurture that will enable God to grow, to be birthed, and to become strong? And finally, what part will you take in the days ahead as the story of God's salvation grows slowly within you? Because remember, tomorrow's opening night. Amen.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Stranger, heavy hearted, longing for someone.